Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Matthew 21 verse 33 says, here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, that's fruit-bearing time, came, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruits. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, note verse 43, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. Hallelujah. So this scripture teaches a very important subject about the kingdom of God. It teaches us that the kingdom of God is like a garden of vines. We call it the vineyard. And the kingdom of God is supposed to produce a certain fruit, all right? Supposed to produce a certain fruit. And in the parable, when the time came for the fruition, the owner of the parable, the owner of the vineyard or the garden sent for the fruit. You know, you want to see the fruit of the kingdom. But, you know, in the story, the farmers who were there, they refused to give him the fruit. Because of that, the kingdom of God was taken from them. As it were, the garden was taken from them and given to a different set of farmers, called them vine dressers. These are the kingdom farmers. A different set of farmers or vine dressers were given the garden or the vineyard, and they produced the fruit of it. Generally, this scripture is talking about the Jewish people. They are refusing to accept the kingdom of God, and God taking the kingdom from the Jewish people and giving it to the Gentiles. But beyond that, I want us to understand that God expects us to bring him the fruit of the kingdom. The fruit of the kingdom. He expects non-Jews, if you like, to bring him the fruit of the kingdom. All right? So, we want to discover what the fruit of the kingdom is. The first thing I want us to understand is that the word fruit was used in the Bible to talk about character, you know, to talk about something, a trait that goes with or should go with somebody, a trait that goes with somebody or should go with somebody. So that is something that I want to establish very clearly in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and then verse 16 to 21. The Bible tells us that Jesus used the word fruit to symbolize character. So he says to the Jewish people in Matthew chapter 7 verse 16 that you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. All right. So in all that scripture, Jesus Christ used the word fruit to mean a trait, a character, you know, that must go with somebody, that must go with you and I. It's a nature that we must have. Actually, if you look at Matthew chapter 3, you will see that John the Baptist, who started to preach the kingdom of God, used the word fruit in connection with a trait that must go with somebody. Look at Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. He was talking about bear a nature, a trait, a character that shows that you have repented. So John the Baptist, who began to preach the kingdom of God, used fruit as character. And Jesus Christ, when he came with the kingdom, he also did the same. So what it means is this. It means that anywhere you read and you see fruit in the Bible, you should not depart from the first way it was used. Now you can add other things, that's okay, but it should not cancel out the first impression that we got from the preachers of the kingdom, like John the Baptist, like our Lord Jesus himself, and the way he used the word fruit. Because sometimes in trying to kind of bring out your own understanding, you can extrapolate, you know, by application, say that fruit is also talking about your projects. You understand that. And you can talk about fruit as something else. But basically, please don't depart from it. Fruit as used the first time in the New Testament is talking about a trait, a nature that must go with a person, that must go with a tree, that must go with a prophet, that must go with a preacher. See, you will know them by their fruit. He was talking about by their character. Hallelujah. So we want to understand fruit in this direction, that the kingdom of God that must bear fruit, that we must bear its fruit, means that we must show a certain nature of the kingdom. If we say that we belong to the kingdom, we are born again believers, then that nature of the kingdom, that fruit of the kingdom, must be displayed by us. Look at Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of his streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. The tree of life bears what? 12 fruit. The tree of life began as it is on earth in the Garden of Eden. Okay? We see the tree of life in the middle of the garden. Now, in the ending of the Bible, the very last chapter, we also come across the same tree of life. And this time, it tells us that it bears fruit. It bears fruit. You remember God said to Adam and Eve that our first parents in the first kingdom era, that they should eat of every tree of the garden, including the tree of life. So they ate it. And as long as I believe that they ate it, kingdom life was reinforced in them. By the time came that they went to eat the other fruit, God said you should not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then something was bettered in them. The kingdom was not exemplified in them. Religion got into them. Hallelujah. Religion is our own way of trying to please God. The kingdom is God's way by which we can please him. I believe that the tree of life is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is that tree of life. He died on the cross as a tree of life to release his life into humanity so that we can eat of the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. We can feed on him all the time. Indeed, he is food for us. He is bread for us, that we must eat him all the time. Hallelujah. We must not be tired of eating the Lord Jesus, reading the Lord Jesus, showing the Lord Jesus, discovering the Lord Jesus. He is the food for us. But I want us to note that he bears 12 fruits. 12 fruits. And every month we want to look at one fruit, because 12 fruits, we can safely divide it among the 12 months of the year, and then we are cool. Hallelujah. So this month, we want to look at the fruit of God's presence, the fruit of kingdom presence. In other words, if we belong to the kingdom of God, we must bear a certain nature, a certain trait. Something must go with us. A sign must go with us. That is the fruit of kingdom presence of God. Kingdom presence of God. Hallelujah. I want us to understand that God is omnipresent. That means that he is everywhere at the same time. God is everywhere at the same time. So all over the world, everywhere, in heaven, on earth, everywhere, God is. Hallelujah. He is everywhere at the same time. Now, I want us to understand that having a religious presence of God is where you are content with the fact that God is everywhere and so is with you. There is something called religious presence of God. Okay? That is not a bad thing at all. It is our own effort at trying to measure up to God. And because human beings know that God is everywhere at the same time, they can think, both believers and unbelievers, they can think that because God is everywhere at the same time, his presence is with me. Okay? So you can think like that. It's not a bad thing. But it is so low or foundational that even unbelievers know that God is with them, so to speak. But there is a certain presence of God which is exemplified in heaven. There is, in the heavenly kingdom, there is a certain presence of God which those of us who belong to the kingdom of God must walk in that realm. We must not just walk in the realm of, well, God is omnipresent, so everywhere that I am, God is with me. You understand that? It's not a sin. It's a good thing. True, God is omnipresent. True, he's everywhere at the same time. But what I'm saying to us is that there is a presence of God that I call the kingdom presence of God that believers must walk in. Hallelujah. Beyond the fact that God is omnipresent, we must walk in a certain presence of God that I call the kingdom presence of God. Now, the kingdom presence of God, you can also call it the refreshing presence. The refreshing presence of God. And if you look at the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, we want to read something about the kingdom presence of God. Acts chapter 3, and then verse number 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is telling to humanity that we should repent, because when our sins are blotted out, then the times of refreshing will come from the presence of God. Believers are to experience the times of refreshing. That comes from where? The presence of God. This is what we call the refreshing presence of God. There is a presence of God that refreshes all of us. Hallelujah. Unbelievers may not have this refreshing presence. Why? Because they are still in their sins. They haven't acknowledged that Jesus Christ has taken away their sins. They haven't received Jesus Christ and his work that he did for us on the cross. Because of that, Their sin remains practically with them. Okay? They are sinners. But believers who believe that Jesus Christ took away their sins and gave them his righteousness, the Bible says we can have the refreshing presence of God, which I call the kingdom presence of God.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Okay, now I want us to note some benefits that we get from this refreshing or kingdom presence of God. Look at Acts chapter 2 and then verse 25. Acts chapter 2 verse 25. For David says concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Underline, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. In other words, in his life, David practiced the presence of God. David had the kingdom presence of God with him. You know, you must understand something about David, that he was a man after God's heart. A man after God's heart means that he was somebody who was looking for what really God wanted. Not what human beings want to do to God, which is religious. But he was looking for what God wanted. He was after, what is the way to please you? How can I please you? What do you want? What do you want on this earth? What is your plan? Hallelujah. Other people were after what has been laid down, like King Saul. What had been laid down, he will follow what had been laid down, you know, in a Jewish society. But David went beyond that. He said that, no, I don't think the blood of animals satisfies you. You see? So he delves into the heart of God to find out, what is it that you want? How can we please you beyond what we are doing? So in David's time, he experienced the kingdom of God in a shadow form. When we say in a shadow form, it means that although Jesus had not come to reintroduce the kingdom of God, but God showed him a glimpse of the kingdom, that is how the thing is. So contrary to the laws of God, David, as it were, established his own system, so to speak, of reaching out to God, of praising God, of worshiping God, of serving God, not after the blood of bulls and goats, but after his own sword. When I say his own sword, as revealed by God unto him. So God described him that he is a man after my heart. He is a man. He is not that what has been established, what we are doing, he wants to follow it, but he really wants to delve beyond that. So God revealed the kingdom system to David. Hallelujah. And David says that, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. In other words, I have the kingdom presence of God. I foresaw the Lord. Let's go back to our scripture. I foresaw the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Hallelujah. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken, that I may not be moved. The kingdom presence of God, first of all, it refreshes us. Is that right? The times of refreshing comes from the presence of God. There is a special refreshing that comes over us when we have the kingdom presence of God in our lives, when we are practicing it as kingdom citizens. All right? Secondly, it establishes us. It prevents us from being moved, because there are many things that moves people. in this world. News move people. You know, bad news, it moves people. Circumstances which are negative, it moves believers. But David says, as for me, because I foresee the Lord always before me, because I have the kingdom presence of God, I will not be moved by circumstances of life. Hallelujah. Jesus is our rock. He keeps us from being moved by bad news, negative circumstances. He is our anchor. Hallelujah. Those of us who belong to the kingdom of God, we have the fruit, or we should walk in the nature, in such a nature that we are not moved by what is going on in the world. One time David said that although the earth be removed from under him, although the mountains should even fall into the seas, you can imagine what will happen. He says, as for me, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. Because the presence of God in your life, it keeps you from being startled. It settles you. It settles you. Don't you want to be settled in life? Because there are many things that are moving us in our homes. Many things are moving us. I mean, it's making us lose our cool. It's ruffling us. It's making us emotionally feel bad. You know, it's making us psychologically, we lose our cool. We blow our top. We go berserk. We do not comport ourselves as believers well. But when you practice the kingdom presence of God, ladies and gentlemen, the storms can come. The bad news can come. The bad circumstances, they can multiply in your life. But because of the law that you have set before you, you will be like David. You will not be moved. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It's powerful. We belong to a certain place called the kingdom of God. But we are in an earthly kingdom. The earthly kingdom will try to have influence, hold sway over us by bringing in its own fruit, you know, its own things to kind of shake us. But God says that because we belong to the heavenly kingdom, and because the kingdom presence of God as a sign, as a trait, is with us, this world cannot overcome us. There is no way the world can overcome us. The negative will not even let our faith in God become weak. It will rather strengthen it. There is nothing negative when you have the kingdom presence of God. There is nothing negative from outside, circumstances, situations that can hit your life that will make your faith even become weak. Hallelujah. Because the presence of God is your guarantee. It is your strength. Hallelujah. You have a strength that unbelievers do not understand. You are not moved by the things that moves them. Bad news that moves them. Bad things that happen around. Because the presence of God that is before you is greater than all the problems of the world. He cools you down. He settles you that you will not be moved. He says that because I have set the Lord always before me, I will not be moved. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Now, let's go to the book of Psalm 16 and then verse 16. We will come back to Acts chapter 3. But Psalm 16 and then verse number 6, I should say. This is a psalm of David, our kingdom man, who was after the heart of God. Psalm 16 verse 6. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It says that the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance. Wonderful. What inheritance do we have? We have a good inheritance. Because of that, the lines will fall to you in pleasant places. Wonderful. That is one benefit we get from the kingdom presence of God. It makes things fall unto you in pleasant places. In other words, God makes things work for you. He makes things work for you. The Bible says that if God be for us, who can be against us? We can read it as, what can be against us, and not be wrong. Because the same Greek word that is translated who is also translated what. Actually, that word is translated more as what in the New Testament than as who. So he says this, that if God is for us, who or what can be against us? When the kingdom presence of God is with us, whatever thing that happens to us, he makes it work for our good. His presence changes the nature of the thing. There may be arrows that are thrown at you, but his presence converts it into arrows of blessings, if there is anything like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Many people can come against you, but at the end of the day, his presence will convert them to what? Friends instead of enemies. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The Bible says that when a man's ways pleases God, he will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. Those who come against you because your ways please God, it's not that you are very good, though. What it means is that because you are pursuing the kingdom ways, that is the ways that pleases God. It's not a religious way, man's own way of trying to please God. If a man's ways is after the kingdom ways, God will even cause his enemies to be at peace with him. His enemies will become his friends. All things will work together for his good. What they meant for evil, the presence of God that is before you will convert it unto good for you. Hallelujah. Let's go back to... Okay, once we are there, let us still look at verse number 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. All right, let's look at verse 8 for context. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Okay? It's powerful. The kingdom presence of God fills you with gladness. It says that, therefore, my heart will be glad. God's presence fills you with gladness. When there are situations around you that you should not be glad in your heart. He says that, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My heart is glad and I rejoice. It's wonderful. Because of what? Because I practice the kingdom presence of God. And then it also makes your body to be restful. The kingdom presence that I'm talking to you about, it makes your body to be restful. Look at verse number 9b to 10. My flesh also will rest in hope. My what? Body, my flesh will rest in hope, or will dwell securely. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This scripture is about Jesus' dying and God preserving him and he resurrecting from Sheol or from Hades, the place of the dead. Okay? But by application, it is for all those who have the kingdom presence of God. It is for all of us. When the kingdom presence of God is with you, when you have that trait, your body rests. You don't have agitations. When people are agitated, you are not agitated. You are cool and you are collected. Hallelujah. It's the presence of God. He calms all the troubles around us. He stills everything for us. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and then verse 19. So God wants us to have this nature as part of us, as a character. He wants us to have his kingdom presence as a trait so much a part of us that it becomes a trait, something that goes with us, that we are known by. Acts chapter 3 and then verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Hallelujah. It's powerful. The kingdom presence of God, you know what it does for you? It brings restoration to every aspect of your life. Are you excited about that? Verse 21, whom heaven must receive. Says that heaven must receive who? Jesus. This is talking about Jesus sitting at the right hand side of the Father after his resurrection. Heaven must receive him until the times of restoration of all things. Please underline times of restoration and go back to verse 19 and underline times of refreshing. Times of refreshing from the presence of God. Times of restoration from the presence of God. Restoration of how many things? Of all things. Of all things. The presence of God does not take away from you. The presence of God restores. It heals. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the fruit, the leaves of the tree of life, is for the healing or the restoration of nations and then also of individuals who constitute nations. So in your life, the kingdom presence of God will bring what? Restoration unto you. Restore things in every aspect of your life. Your marriage life is restored by the kingdom presence of God. It's not necessarily by where God is present everywhere. God is omnipresent. So God is present with everybody. Yes, it's true. But beyond that, we kingdom people should practice what is called the kingdom presence of God.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.